thanks one more time. Oh God. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. Worship you, Lord. Amen. I will not be starting off with a scripture today, so just look at somebody near you. Let them know they're glad that you're glad that they're here today. And then you may be seated. Well, today we celebrate Mother's Day, and there was a mother of three notoriously unruly youngsters that was asked whether or not she'd have children if she had to do it all over again. She said, yeah, but not the same ones. Another story states that no one deserves a special day all to herself more than today's mom. There was a cartoon that showed a psychologist talking to his patient. He said, let's see, you spend 50% of your energy on your job and 50% on your husband and 50% on your children. I think I see the problem. It's 150%. And so today we celebrate Mother's Day, and mothers are truly deserving to have at least one day dedicated to them. Hopefully we treat our mothers all year long the way they deserve to be treated. I will say that to all those who desperately want to be a mom and cannot, and to those who often hear, but you're like a mom to so many, the kind words are appreciated, but there is still a void. To those who have lost a precious child that made you a mama, and to those that had a wonderful mom and have lost her. To those who did not have a good example of a mom, and to those that this day brings hurt and may bring up some uncomfortable feelings and memories, you're not forgotten today. You are loved and you are valuable. You are in our thoughts and our prayers as we celebrate Mother's Day today. We wrestle with the reality that Mother's Day is uncomfortable for some, yet we still want to honor and encourage our mothers and celebrate the love and dedication and sacrifice of motherhood. Today I'm going to go to a passage that mothers are somewhat concealed in this, but I think it does give us an understanding. It's going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'll read 1 through 5. This will be in the King James, and again, you can remain seated. And there is a indication of the importance of motherhood in here, although you do have to look a little bit for it. It says this, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Father, I ask that you help us today, Lord, as we celebrate our moms. Lord, that you'd be with us to lead us and guide us and give these mothers strength and wisdom, Lord, and help as we parent in very challenging times. Lord, let your word today touch our hearts and encourage and strengthen our mothers today and help us to leave here refreshed and led by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Many traits we have are passed down from our parents. And so today we celebrate mothers, so we will focus on moms. In a few weeks we will discuss fathers. Paul in this passage seems to acknowledge where Timothy gets his character and devotion from. Understand that Paul views Timothy as his son in the gospel. And so in this passage, he's referring to this. And there are some scholars that would believe that because Timothy's father is not mentioned anywhere, that perhaps his father passed away when Timothy was very young. So it's very possible that although Timothy may not have had a father on the scene, and it's possible also that Paul views him as a son, because we don't see anywhere where Paul had a son. And so there's this relationship here. In this relationship, he does start to give credit to his grandmother and his mother Eunice, his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. And we see this in verse 5 when it says, "When I called to the remembrance the unfeigned," which means the sincere or genuine faith that is in thee, he seems to be giving credit to these two influences as the source of his faith in his character. Moms, you are more powerful with your influence in your child's life than you think. Don't ever relegate that, or don't ever surrender that to anybody else. Nobody knows here in this passage why Timothy's father and grandfather were not mentioned, but again, some scholars assume that Timothy's father died while Timothy was young. And so in this, we see perhaps a single mother in this situation. Understand that even in a single mother situation, that you still have great influence in the development of your children. And so the fact remains that Timothy was who he is, was largely because of the influence of his mother. I have passages for all of these that I'm about to say. I'm not going to list them for the sake of time. But I want to give now some of Timothy's traits and some of his character traits that we will find splashed throughout the whole New Testament. And in these, we see that he was apparently trained by his mother and grandmother. We also see that he was trained by Paul. And again, I have passages for all of these. He was an assistant writer to 2 Corinthians 1, Philippians 1, Colossians 1, Thessalonians 1, 2 Thessalonians 1, Philemon 1. That he was in missionary work, according to the book of Acts. That he was a messenger, according to 1 Corinthians, and again, other passages. He was a teacher. He was a preacher. He was an evangelist. All of this when seemingly being led and raised by a single mother and perhaps the influence of his grandmother. His place in history, that he assisted writing 6 books of the Bible, which I've just already mentioned, that he also participated in the second missionary journey of the church. Special traits that he had was his mother was Jewish and his father was a Gentile, although he wasn't given credit for some of his upbringing, but we know from Scripture that his father was a Gentile. There was a little bit of weakness that perhaps is referred to with Timothy, that he was possibly had some timidity, that he was perhaps a timid young man. We see that in 1 Timothy and in 2 Timothy. And he was not commended for his boldness. But some of the strengths that he did have is he was reputable. He was supportive. He was unselfish. He was humble. He was a servant. He was a worker. He was beloved. He was faithful. He was a teacher. He was well trained. He had genuine concern. He was a strengthener. He was an encourager. He had strong faith. He was trusted. He had knowledge of scriptures. He was well spoken. He had good conduct. He had love. He had purity. He had patience. He had perseverance. All these things we see that more than likely came from his mother. It's very possible that he had other influence, whether schoolwork, whether there was somebody in the neighborhood. We can gather influence from a lot of people, but a lot of our core beliefs and who we are is going to come from our parents. And mom, since you typically have the closer contact, now I'm not excusing men because I will talk about them in a few weeks, but mothers, you have a great impact in the development of your children. I was watching a video a couple of years ago and rewatched it recently, and I began to talk about different organizations and things that are going on today, and I won't get into the names of the groups, but one individual that is a very powerful person in a very powerful organization and very strongly involved in politics was asking the individual about women's rights. And this person said, well, yes, I do believe in women's rights and do believe in a fair pay scale, and began to go through this. And the guy that said that we initiated all this, he looked at him and said, well, you're foolish for believing that. He said, well, what do you mean? He said, that's not why we created that. Of course, that's what we've told everybody. But the real reason was to get more women in the workplace. Because the sooner we can get them into the workplace, the sooner we can get their children. And the sooner we can get them publicly trained in our public schools and get them not only in first grade, but now we get them in kindergarten. And kindergarten's not good enough. We want to get them in preschool. And if we can't get them just in preschool, then we'll have public daycares that we can begin to train and get them to know our philosophies. That way, from there through college, we mold and shape them. Am I saying that all schools are about this? No. Am I saying that all daycares are about this? No. There's some fine daycares. We had one in Circleville for a number of years, and we put Christian values and things into the children that were that needed to be there. And so am I saying that it's wrong for a mother to work? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that no matter what your position is, don't ever lose sight that you have influence with your children, and it is your primary responsibility as a mother and as a father to put the values that are important to you into your child, and don't wait for the school system to do that. I contend that these traits didn't happen on accident. They were developed over years by a loving, nurturing, intentional mother. As I looked for notable mothers in history throughout this past week while I was working on this message, what I typically found was successful women that had children. I was looking for notable mothers. I was looking for traits of what is a good mother and what are these aspects of these great mothers, and yet what I found was these women that were politicians, business owners, community leaders, with very few references with their impact as a mother. They were simply people that had children, ladies that had children that had great careers. I read an article that was interesting to me, and just go with me for just a moment. And see if you notice the trend in this. Each week during the 2012 season, mgoblue.com will ask each member of the University of Michigan softball team the same question as the question of the week. Week 13's question was, who is the most influential person in your life? They interviewed 13 of their softball players. Lindsay Doyle, the most influential person in my life is my mom, Gina. I look up to her in so many ways. We share a love for softball. She has always been a huge support. She has taught me to work hard and to do my best, but always reminds me to always have fun. She has taught me to be positive in difficult circumstances when she has faced tough times. My mom chooses to focus on good things and not get weighed down by the bad. She always say, life throws you punches. roll with it. No matter what she's dealing with, she always manages to laugh and always laughs hardest at her own joke. Mom, I love you. Becca Garfinkel says this, "The most influential person in my life is my mom. She is consistently positive and determined to help everyone around her. She is a great goal setter and has inspired me to set high goals for myself and to reach hard for them." Amy Knapp says, "My grandma Ruth is the most influential person in my life. I am lucky enough to call her my best friend." Stephanie Spearman says, "There's a lot of people who have a tremendous influence in my life, but my parents have been my two biggest influences. My travel softball coach, Glenn Warwick, has been unique as well." Hillary Payne, "I have had many people influence my life, but the most influential people have been my mom and dad." Do you see the pattern that's happening here? "They have taught me values to live by. They have supported me and have encouraged me to pursue my dreams while challenging myself to be the best that I can be. I would not be the person I am today without their love and guidance." Caitlin Blanchard said, "Currently, Carol Hutchins, I wanted to find out who this was. Well, Carol Hutchins was the head coach of that softball team. She says, "Currently, Carol Hutchins is the most influential person in my life. She influences all of my daily activities, whether I run or lift or get on a bus to travel somewhere. She's a very convincing person." Taylor Hasselback says, "My dad is my inspiration in life. He's such a hardworking and caring man and ultimately my backbone. He understands everything I go through, is always there for me, and when I need a pick-me-up, he is there for me. I'm here at Michigan living out my dream and making him proud." Bree Evans says, "The most influential person in my life are my parents and my fiance, Ryan. All of them have made me the person I am today. They have helped in all of my dreams come true. I wouldn't be here where I am today without any of them. Thank you so much." Mandy Gardner says this, "The most influential person in my life would have to be my dad. He's always been there since the day one and always will be. He has inspired me to do my best and to work my hardest in all I do. And whether I succeed or not, he has always been there to give me a big hug and tell me everything will be all right. He is my role model, and I love him to death. You could definitely say I'm a daddy's girl." Haley Wagner says, "The common response for everyone would be the most influential person in my life would be my parents." Brandy Virgil says this, "It has to be my mom and dad. My parents have been incredibly influential in my life in several ways. My dad has been there to instill my competitiveness and kindness. My mom has shown me dedication and hard work. Together, they have taught me to have good morals, to always rely on family, and they are the best." And finally, Amanda Chedester says, "Both of my parents and my grandma. My parents, because they are the ones who made me who I am today. They are absolutely amazed and are the most loving and caring people that I have in my life. They have been my biggest support for everything and have been there for me no matter what. They sacrificed everything for my brothers and me to help us to be the best we can. I also could go on about how much they mean to me and how much they influence my life, but I will end with this. Love you, Mom and Dad. My grandma, because she's the biggest fighter I've ever met. She's been through so much, yet she keeps fighting every living day for her life and the fullest with her enormous amount of faith and love. It has been awesome to see her attend as many games that she can attend. These three people have influenced my life in so many positive ways. I am so blessed to have them in my life." I'm sorry, there's one more. Ashley Lane. "My dad is the most influential person in my life because he has taught me a lot about life and the game of softball. He has taught me how to handle pressure situations, letting go, and preparing for the next challenge." Out of this, I want you to notice that out of 13 of these players, 12 of them stated that their greatest influence in their entire lives were their parents. Parents, you matter more than you think. Your influence, your daily influence, matters more than you think. Mothers, today we're addressing you. You matter. You're not just the washwoman. You're not just the person that cleans the house. You're not just the person that prepares dinner and does dishes. You're not just that person. Every word, every time that you give your child instruction, you are helping them with life. Every time that you're encouraging them, every time you're speaking into their character and their conduct, you matter. You are more influential than you think. I would assume that if you would have asked all of those students' parents, who's the most influential person in your child's life, I would think that most of them would not have guessed themselves. I'm just their father. I'm just their mother. They probably have a favorite coach. There's probably a favorite teacher. There's probably a neighbor. There's probably a movie star. There's probably a singer or a musician. There's probably somebody else that they look up to. I'm sure if these parents knew that that's how their child viewed them, they, as we, would probably all be shocked. There's a study that was done by PhD by Chris Drew, and he wrote a periodical on it, and it's called The 50 Influence Examples. And I'm just gonna give just a couple of these that he stated in this article about influence examples in a person's life. He says this, that parents influence their children's values, behaviors, life decisions through their guidance, actions, and environments they create. In today's interconnected world, influence plays a critical role in shaping public opinion and driving consumer behavior. As a result, brands are often pairing up with social influencers who can motivate hard-to-reach potential customers. But in more traditional sense, other people have influence on our lives. We're not talking about products, we're talking about lives. Influence and advertisements do things to get you to buy things. But in today's traditional sense, other people have influence on our lives. He says, parents. Everybody say parents. Teachers, religious leaders, friends, and so on. All influence our tastes, our beliefs, and our thought processes. And so parents, we have a much bigger value on influencing our children's behaviors and what they're really, their lives and their core values. This model argues that the most influential people in our lives are our inner circle, he goes on to say. In other words, our immediate family. He goes on to say, following family, we may have friends, teachers, and coworkers who are next most influential, then perhaps media or distant relatives, and so on. He goes on to say that parents and guardians, often regardless of this primary influence in a person's life, parents or guardians shape an individual's values, behaviors, and attitudes from a very young age. And so with this, we understand that it is parents that mold and shape your children. Don't ever relegate that to someone else. Don't ever surrender your influence. There was a study done a number of years ago where they actually interviewed children and said, if you could have anything, what would you want and from your family? And what they expected was that kids would talk about either monetary things, gifts, trips, vacations. But the overwhelming response was what children wanted was more time with their parents. These are kids. These aren't adults that their values have changed and now they're realizing, oh, my values have shifted and now I wish I had more time with parents. These were kids and teenagers. I know that's sometimes tough to believe because you're also the one that tells them to clean the room, to cut the grass, to do these things. And so you feel like maybe they don't want to spend time with you, but in reality, they really do. Moms, don't ever give away your influence thinking that their coach will teach them, that their teachers will teach them. If you send your kids to school, you homeschool, understand this, that there is an educational process, and I do want my kids to learn math and English and history, and I want them to learn the basics. I want them to learn information. But more and more schools and colleges are getting more into philosophy and into character and into conduct and into ways of thinking. And more we have to realize as parents, we cannot surrender that. That whatever your child is going to become, their core values, that you have to make sure that you are the one that is pouring that into them. They need to know who you are, and you need to help develop your children into the person that you want them to become. Let the educational system educate them, but make sure their values are coming from you. Mothers, your influence is very important. It is very crucial. So mothers, don't give excuses for your kids. Expect the best out of them. Many times I see mothers that will say that, well, they don't have a dad, that's why they're acting out. That's no excuse to allow your child to act out. It doesn't appear as though Timothy had a dad, at least not very long in his life. He had a father, obviously, at some point in his life, but over the series of time, who gets the credit for what he became? And so I have found that in high school, I realized that there were a lot of kids had the same home story, single mom, single dad, adopted, checked out parents. And what I found in different economic status, you'd see some kids that were a little better off and some kids were a little worse off. Some kids that their parents were perhaps in law enforcement and other kids. But here's what I found that across the board, no matter what the story was, here's what I found. I found that in some cases that they had the same home story, but the kids turned out differently. And a lot of that is because if somebody makes an excuse for their children, now children have a responsibility. So if you're a teenager here in the room today, understand this: you still have a choice in this. You still have to make a choice whether you're going to give yourself excuses or you're going to give yourself any self-respect or respect for others, whether you're going to follow your parents' instruction, whether you're going to follow the Word of God, or whether you're not. You have that choice, as we all have had. But parents, let me help you to understand. If you give your kids excuses, I had a parent call me one time, and it was after I had to get on a few of my young people in this congregation. It was at this church. And so I had some young people that were getting in trouble. And come to find out, they were running through the church during church time, and they thought the ushers wouldn't find them. And the ushers heard some commotion and went and found them running around playing tag in an area of the church. And so because I was a youth pastor and these were teenagers, these weren't little kids, these were teenagers, believe it or not, I said, well, get all them and their parents and the usher that caught them, have a meeting with me, and we'll have a meeting. So we had a meeting, and in this meeting, I asked the usher what he saw, what happened, and he told me, and I said, does everybody agree with that? Does anybody disagree with that? Did he get the story right? No, he's right. He's okay. He said it right. Okay. And so all the parents were there. Well, some of the parents, some of them were not. And I got a phone call when I got home. And the phone call went something like this. Brother Pelham, I just want you to know that I don't think my son should have got in trouble. Really? He had every opportunity in front of the usher that said that he caught them to say whether that story was true or not. Well, he just didn't want to speak up in front of him. I said, oh, okay. And he said, she went on to say, you know he doesn't have his real dad. I said, yeah, I'm well aware of that. He's got a stepdad. Well, but, you know, it's hard on him. It's hard that he doesn't have his real dad in his life. I said, okay. Does that change what is right? Does that change what his behavior should be? No. And then I heard in the background. I said, is he standing there with you right now? And she said, well, yes. Okay. I said, well, you're totally tearing down my influence when you're calling to tell me why he shouldn't have got in trouble because he doesn't have his real dad in his life. He's got a stepdad. And he had every opportunity to speak up in front of the people that called him, but he chose not to. And you see, she wasn't in the meeting. She was still in the sanctuary while the stepdad was in the meeting. Well, so she was making an excuse and telling me why she thinks that he shouldn't be punished and why I embarrassed him and everybody embarrassed him. And so as she did all that, I said, you know, it's not really helpful for your son for you to be tearing down authority, myself and the ushers, in front of him. Well, fast forward about 2 years, 3 years, this young man's in bigger trouble. And she called me to ask if I could come spend some time with him and have some influence with him. And here's the conversation I had. I'll see what I can do. However, do you remember that conversation we had about 3 years ago when they were having squirt gun fights in the church and they got caught by the ushers? And how you called me and was tearing down spiritual authority in his life in front of him? I'm not sure he respects me because of the seeds you planted. Now, I'll see what I can do, but I'm not sure I have the influence that I need in his life because you tore that down. Here's what I'm telling you. I'm giving you a negative example there of the power of influence. The last I knew, that young man was a bouncer in a bar. Grew up in the church. And so your influence matters. Your Christianity that's on display in front of your children, it matters. Who you are and the values that are important to you. Teach your children self-respect. Teach them some values. Don't give your kids excuses. Don't surrender your influence. Don't surrender that influence that you have, and don't expect anybody else to pour that into you. Don't expect the school. Don't expect media. Don't expect the church. What? Let me say it again. Don't expect the church to build into you what is for you to do. Boy, that got quiet. Is this thing on? Let me say that again. As a parent, you have influence morning, noon, and night. What we do here at the church is simply support what they should be already getting at home. We're just support role. But I have seen so many parents surrender that. I'll go back to another time I was a youth pastor, a different parent. Driving down the road, I see them waiting on the bus. I stopped to pick them up, and I was in my truck that I had, and it was one of the parents of one of my young people in my youth group. I saw them wait on the bus, so I pulled over and hop in, sis. And so she jumped in, and I'm taking her home. And so as I'm driving home, I'm asking her about her daughter. And I said, how's she doing? Because I knew how I thought she was doing. She's in my youth group. But I said, I wanted to hear from mom. I said, how's she doing? And she said this. I'll never forget it. She said she's struggling a bit. I said, well, are you doing okay with her? And how are you trying to help her? And she said, oh, Brother Bill, I'm just her mom. And I realized what she said right there. What she was saying is that I don't have any influence. I'm not popular. I'm not the person that can really speak into her life. I'm not the person that can really bring any change to her life. I'm just her mom. The fact that she said just her mom, it took me back and I said, just her mom? I said, if we all felt that way, there would be no influence in her life. If you said, I'm just their mom, and if I said, I'm just her youth pastor, and if pastor said, I'm just her pastor, and teacher said, I'm just their teacher, nobody would have influence on your daughter. But you have more influence than all of us put together. And so don't ever say you're just her mom. Instructor. She said, well, I just try to live my life in front of her. And I begin to tell her about how there is a matter of being an example. There is a matter of doing that, but there's also instruction you have to give. You see, moms, your kids have to know that they can look to you and watch you for an example to see what they should be. Furthermore, there needs to be some instruction that comes with that so they know why you do what you do. Or why you don't do certain things. So don't expect the school or the media or the church to build your child into what they should become. They are all supporting roles, and they should be just supporting you in what you develop your child into. There's a few do's. One is expect great things out of them. Something I say to my kids is, why not you? I know statistically that there may be probabilities that might be against them. But somebody's going to be a success. Why not you? Somebody's going to be the blessed person. Why not you? Use whatever is your greatest gift and skill and talent and maximize that. Why not you? Why not have the blessings of the Lord flow down on you? Why not have great things happen to you? We sometimes get this mentality, oh, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen to me. And I have to admit, I wrestle with this sometimes because I seem to have a gift, and I'm going to try not to confess this right now, but I got to say it. I feel like I'm the guy that can go to the grocery store, and there's 15 people on this line, there's 20 people on this line, but there's one person in this line over here, and nobody else is realizing that I can shoot the gap and be the second person in this line. But as soon as I get in that line, as soon as I get in there, the person in front of me is going to have an item that doesn't have a sticker or a barcode or it's scratched off.
We need a price check on aisle 2.
And I'm going to sit there and watch 15 people on that line. Ching, 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 ching. I'm going to watch the 20 people in the next line. Ching, ching. And I'm going to watch all those lines empty out while I'm waiting on the price check on the one item. And I'm going to totally jam up that line. In fact, I'm so convinced that I'm that person. I really have to change my conversation on this. But I'm so convinced that, in fact, I will apologize to the people that are stacking up behind me. It's me. It's my fault. It's not. Don't blame this person up here. It's my fault. I got in this line and I doomed it. Now, everybody say, don't do that. Don't do that. But what I try to do with my kids is I try to let them know, why not you? Why not the blessings fall on you? Why not the good thing that happens? Why not you? Why give me a reason why that shouldn't happen to you. So you have to expect great things out of them, and you have to let them see that they can accomplish what they set out to do. Teach them self-respect. Don't wear your pajamas to Walmart. Don't wear fuzzy slippers and your hair is all matted like you've been sleeping for 3 days, and then you're going to go out in public because I don't care what anybody thinks. You should care. Don't overly care about what everybody's opinion is. That's not what I'm talking about. You should have a certain amount of self-respect. You should respect yourself enough to not look like that. I see people that I don't know how long they've wore those jammies because they're all worn off and dirty at the bottom and they're too long. And they've like worn off the length of the hem because they've drug them through the parking lot so much. They're dirty and nasty. I'm like, you shouldn't wear them out in public, and I hope you don't get in bed with those. They're filthy. Ran into a young person one time coming through Walmart, and he looked like he had been sleeping for about 3 days and flip-flops and cargo shorts and looked like he got done cutting the grass. And I said, hey, man, what are you doing here? He said, I'm here for a job interview. But then the gift of prophecy hit him, and he said, but I don't think I got it. How bad is it when you blow an interview at Walmart? Teach them self-respect. I got another one. Teach them to respect others. Have some courtesy. Have some kindness. Respect other people. These are just common things. Teach them what you believe. Everybody say instruction. You see this lady that was in the cab of my truck, and I was driving her home and asking her about her daughter that was in my youth group. I said, well, what are you doing with her struggles? You say she's struggling. Are you doing anything about it? She said, no, I'm just her mom. And when she said that, I said, but are you doing anything about it? She said, no, because I'm just her mom. And I told her, I said, she said, I just try to live it in front of her. And I said, and you're doing a good job. I think you're very consistent from what I see. But there's a problem with that. You do need to be an example. How many of you know that being an example is important? The problem is her daughter didn't see why she did the things that she did. And so you need to instruct your kids why, if you give them something, why that's important. I'm not talking about a speech. I'm not talking about some big deal, but you need to give your kids instruction on why there's value in serving the Lord, why there's value in going to church, why there's value in having a relationship with your word, with the Bible, why there's value in respecting your elders, why there's value in these things, why there's value in taking care of your stuff. So there's value in those things. So teach them what you believe. Your children will not know or learn your heritage, your faith, unless you teach them. We as parents have a responsibility to teach them in the way that they should go. This is not a job of the school, the church, or Sunday school. It is our job as parents. Some may feel like they don't know the scripture well enough to teach them to their children. If this is your situation, then teach what you know and then learn together. It's okay if you and your children discover the truth in God's word at the same time. Lois and Eunice here in the Bible taught Timothy the scriptures from infancy. Clearly, what they taught made a huge difference in his life and led to his conversion at an early age. The fifth point is this, as the musicians begin to come. Live what you believe. Everybody say example. So I talked first about instruction, right? That's instruction, and that's even in the Word of God. We see something in the Word of God, or we read and we study, we get some instruction. But then the next part is that we have to be an example. Now, either one of these on their own is not very beneficial. If you just tell your kids what they should do, instruct, but you're not living at all, you're doing just that. Do as I say, not as I do. That's not very healthy or beneficial. It's instruction. Instruction's important. But then there needs to be example that catches up with it. You also can't be an example like the lady I was telling you about that I just live it, but my daughter doesn't know why I live it. She doesn't know why we do what we do. She doesn't know why we don't do certain things. She doesn't know why. And so both of these things are vital, that you give instruction and that you live it. Give instruction and then you live it. That is how your kids are going to get it. As important as it is for Lois and Eunice to teach Timothy, it was also equally important that they lived what they believed in front of him. When it comes to matters of faith, the old adage, do what I say and not what I do, simply does not work. We cannot expect our children or grandchildren to imitate faith that they don't see lived out. our lives. You can sit down and have a devotional, and I'm not against having devotionals in the home. But if you have a devotional and then you check that box, and then the opportunity to live it comes up and you miss it, your kids will see it. Honesty, integrity. How do you handle things when you're wronged, falsely accused, mistreated? How do you handle that? You'll get a chance to live that out. How to be a blessing to others. How to be a blessing to somebody that's less fortunate than you. Do your kids get an opportunity to see you live that out? I wish I could be here as the example of a parent that I wish I was, but I still try and I still get convicted even when I say lessons like this. I still, as I'm saying things, see deficiencies in my own life that I want to do better on. So moms, the sixth thing is this: be consistent. Kids are very resilient. You're going to make a mistake here and there. You're not going to be perfect. That's not what kids are looking for. But you need to be consistent. You need to be more on point than you're not. Consistent with your love, consistent with your support. And as we stand, the seventh point is this, what I challenge you and encourage you mothers to do is to pray. Everybody say pray. There's been times in our family that, I know I'm talking to mothers, but this isn't just it's a parent thing. It's mother and a father thing, but there's been times where I've wrestled with what is the right thing to do to this, and I've prayed, and God has given me some insight, a direction that I was going to go. The Lord spoke to me and gave me a little bit different insight or direction, and so I handled that situation differently. There's also times that God will himself intervene. Because you've prayed about it, maybe you don't have to say anything about it. God just talks to their heart. If you teach your child how to pray, maybe God will speak to them in their time of prayer. If you teach your child how to be in the Word of God, they may come across Scripture. I a number of years ago, was preaching in Circleville, and I just needed a Bible for an example. Mine was up on the platform. I was down here. I said, Tristan, he was just a kid in my church. I said, Tristan, give me your Bible. And I opened up the Bible to use it for an example, and there were just colors everywhere in it. So I flipped a few more pages over, colors everywhere. This kid's Bible was just highlighted to death. So I talked to him after service, and I said, bro, I said, your Bible's all marked up, which I was praising him for. I said, it's highlighted everywhere. I said, I kept opening pages, and there's more pages of being highlighted. He said, well, I get up. This is a high school student. This year, at this point, he's probably a sophomore. He said, well, I get up early every morning and read my Bible before I go to school. Here's a teenager. And so there's a real good indication that that's a young man that's going to allow Scripture to mold and shape his life, because on his own, he's getting up and reading that. And so, mothers, pray for your kids, but also pray for yourself, for strength, for wisdom, for direction, for courage, that you're strong but not harsh, that you're gentle but not weak, that you lead by example but then also give instruction. So here's what I would like to do today. As I stated earlier, as I was looking for notable mothers, I came across several sites. One of them had 50 notable mothers. And as I read every story, it was about, again, either political or business owners or somebody that was just somebody that had children. But what they were known for was not being a mother or a good mother. What they were known for is being a woman, a position, or accomplishment. But there was nothing said about their children. Nothing wrong with that. I was just looking for examples on mothers. And so, the most important calling you will have with all that you do, moms, will be the legacy that you leave with your children. Your biggest successes, your biggest moments of pride, or your biggest frustration or biggest hurt can come from your kids. Certainly they can go off the rails and do their own thing. I've known of cases where kids raised in the same family, even in some cases twins, you know they weren't raised differently, and one of them stays on the straight and narrow and does great things, and the other one is off the rails. Twins, identical twins. So you know they weren't raised differently. So certainly kids can do that, but how many of us just want to make sure we do all that we can to give our kids the best opportunity to be what they can be? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask moms and their family, whatever family member is with you, I want you to come to this altar. We're going to pray a prayer of dismissal. There are some nice, probably shouldn't tell you this because now you're going to be distracted while you're praying, but there's some nice treats out there for the moms to get on your way out. But I want to pray with our moms and for our moms today. Now I'm gonna make a point here that not all moms have children. Here's what I mean by that. There are women that have produced children that don't deserve to be called a mom. Likewise, there's other women that have been a mom to children that have not been able to have children themselves or have not had children for whatever reason, but have been great influence and have filled the role for somebody that didn't have a mom or didn't have a good mom. In my book, those are moms as well. I'm in shock and awe pastoring how many children have horrible situations. And so if you fill that role in somebody's life, then I welcome you to come to the front, because I'm, as far as I'm concerned, you're a mom as well, because you're filling that role in somebody's life. Can we just begin to lift our voices and pray for these moms before we're dismissed from this place today? Pray that God would give them strength. Pray that God would give them direction. Pray that God would give them insight, Lord, into their kids. Lord, I pray for our moms today, Lord, as we celebrate Mother's Day, Jesus. I pray that you help us together, Lord, to lift up these mothers, that you give them emotional help and emotional strength. God, that you give them help, Lord, in the training of their children and those that may not even be their own children, but somebody else's child, Lord, that is in need of a mother. Lord, that these that are here today, Lord.